I speak to you in the name of the God of hospitality. Amen. There is an intimate connection between our daily habits and the grace of God. Lest you think that's too obvious or too unobvious, remember the New Testament testimony. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Among all our daily habits, which open windows onto God's grace, none offers more hope and difficulty than giving and receiving hospitality. Hospitality is the giving of our time, our homes, our tables, and our hearts to others. In German, the word for hospitality means friendship for the guest. In Dutch, the word means the freedom of the guest. To make room for a stranger to become a friend is at the heart and soul of hospitality. The first caution I should raise is that hospitality is not necessarily another name for manners or courtesy. Genuine hospitality is never concerned with repayment. Samuel Johnson once described gratitude as a lively sense of favors to come. But biblical hospitality doesn't dwell on those future favors. Unlike the expectations raised when my wife and I may attend a dinner party with friends, hospitality doesn't require a return invitation. It's a much easier to live with familiar rules. All the give and take of manners and social etiquette really do help most of us know how to get along with others. But the letter to the Hebrews pulls us in another direction in this summation of holy history. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. One person who hospitalized her world magnificently was Dorothy Day, with the many houses of hospitality, is what she called them, of the Catholic worker movement. Whoever came to her, the poor, alcoholics, mentally disturbed, priests, communists, the wealthy, she opened herself. The strangers to whom she so consistently opened her life came to her as ambassadors from God, and she received them gladly and offered herself immediately. For Dorothy, the running of these houses was not a question of performing good works, nor was it providing out of her own bounty, which she didn't have. It was simply the way to God. On the other hand, those who neglect to offer hospitality close off the circle too quickly. In his ministry, Jesus met these neatly drawn circles every day. Both his friends and his enemies erected boundaries, and only the corrosive grace of Jesus' own actions exposed the ungodly pretense all around him. As the Gospel of Luke tells the story, Jesus always found a way to enlarge the circle. His stories made the point, and we still hear them and still gasp at their audacity. The Good Samaritan, the Pharisee and the tax collector, the prodigal son, they all proclaim a God who opens unlimited space for strangers to become friends. In all those tales, the mannered and knowledgeable ones look past the door that would lead them to true grace and God's hospitable presence. They just don't see it. Among the stories Luke handed on are two parables which should disarm anybody who tries to use social graces for personal advantage or exclusion. In the first part of today's gospel, Jesus spoke about table precedence to make a religious point. When you go to a marriage feast, do not sit in the place of honor. Sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, come up higher." In our church tradition, priests are addressed in writing as the Reverend. Even that much honor sometimes leads us to seek places of honor. However, the dean of the cathedral, for reasons lost in past church customs, is addressed as the Very Reverend. Don't even ask. Not only that, I had a seat in the cathedral that was mine alone. Nobody else could sit there. And when I entered the cathedral in a formal procession, somebody always walked before me carrying a mace, the symbol of my office. Woo! That could be intoxicating. Might quickly have run to my head were it not for the sobering and constant influence of my wife's love and reality check. But true dignity is always unconscious dignity, you know? And true honor is always unexpected. Perhaps you have your own seats of honor in your work or social status. Perhaps you are accustomed to certain prerogatives and privileges. Perhaps you assume that you will have the place you want. But none of us can use the framework of hospitality to gain favor with God. We have to wait for the gracious summons, "Friend, come up higher." Very few things are harder for very reverends, or doctor, or professor, or senior partner, or colonel, or you can locate yourself anywhere in that scene, business owner, you know, whatever you get your status from. The second parable is addressed to those who offer hospitality. When you give a dinner, do not invite your friends or rich neighbors, but invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. The gospel seems to be saying that there can be no strings attached to holy hospitality. But such counterintuitive openness would disrupt everything, so we imagine. After I had been at the cathedral in Buffalo for about a year, one member came to see me to express great disappointment that we had not become close friends. But we weren't close friends, and we weren't going to be close friends. We're enemies, we just weren't going to be close friends. And I probably would not have chosen to invite that person to dinner at my house. Some of us at the cathedral went one time to the Shaw Festival, which is a great theater festival at Niagara-on-the-Lake in Canada. We went to see Major Barbara by George Bernard Shaw. It was great fun, and most of us liked the theater. We were knowledgeable enough to enjoy being together for this outing. But just the week before we went, another person who attended services at the cathedral asked if there were room for her to go. She really didn't fit the group. She was hard to have around sometimes, but she went with us. In the course of hearing the Bible read and proclaimed, you know, we enter a long-running conversation extending back 20 centuries. Sometimes we may feel we have little in common with the inhabitants of the dusty villages of Judea and Galilee. But on this matter of hospitality, we live in the same world. Human nature hasn't changed much, if at all. We, as much as they, wrestle with the nuances of social graces. We find it no easier than they did to enlarge our circle, to show hospitality to strangers. But hospitality is our vocation as baptized people. Hospitality is our vocation as baptized people. If it really were easy, the route would not be shaped like a cross. Such holy hospitality can be risky and frustrating, but when it is offered, we not only entertain angels unaware, we touch God. And the hospitality shows up in the least likely places. There's a bookstore in Paris called Shakespeare and Company. It's an English language bookstore started in the early 20th century by a funky bohemian woman from New Jersey. And that bookstore was the first to publish James Joyce's Ulysses. It was a place where offbeat writers would gather and come read their stuff. And it was right across the canal from Notre Dame. It's still there. She died, and an American man came and bought the store, and she gave him permission to use the name. So if you're ever in Paris again, go see Shakespeare and Company. On the steps that go from the ground floor up to the second floor are written these words: "Do not neglect to show hospitality, for you may entertain angels unawares." There's an intimate connection between our daily habits and the grace of God. If this gospel stirs a response in you, maybe it will cause you to look and measure. How much room is there within you? How tightly is your circle wound? Who are the strangers to whom the door to the feast would normally be closed? Can you imagine saying to those strangers, if only meekly, "Come in, welcome, friend, come up higher"? Let our hospitality not be limited to good manners. If we can find a way to bring others into God's presence as welcome guests, then we and they will be blessed, and the whole world will know that we love God. Amen.